You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Put your finger there, turn to Psalms 119, 45. Put your finger there and turn to James, chapter 1. Amen. Sermon will be over sometime today. We will celebrate the 238th birthday of the United States of America this week. Amen. Considering most democracies only last 200 years, we've gone a long way down the road. Amen. But we've gone a long way from where we started. And I think it's time we get back to where we started. I think somebody needs to call the president up and tell him he needs to read his own surveys. We're not a Christian nation, and explain to me why all 50 states, the number one religion in each one of those states voted on by the people is Christianity. Hello? In some parts of the country, they voted Muslim. Some part, they voted Buddhist. But Christianity was the number one religion in all 50 states of the United States. For our president to say we're no longer a Christian nation, he's not paying attention to the demographics of his country. Hello? Amen. Maybe he needs to go back to his country. Somebody will say something to me about that. But when you're running for the president of the United States and you make a statement that you've gone to all 57 states of your country, and there's only 50 states in America, but there are 57 Muslim states, it tells you something. Now, somebody going to come to you, he's not a Muslim, then why is he a member of the Muslim Brotherhood? I wouldn't join a group if I wasn't one of them. That's like the lady that was Secretary of State several years ago, got up at the NOW conference, which is a conference of lesbians, homosexuals, and said, I'm one of you. And then when I said something about it, the lady said, she's not a homosexual. I said, she said she was. You get up in front of people and they're that kind, you say, I'm one of you. You just said you're one of them. I'm not going to go to a duck convention and quack. I'm not a duck. I waddle. That's because of bad legs. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Psalms 119, 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. James 1:25, but whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us with the power of your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you turn around and look at your neighbor and salute them? Just let them know you love them. Amen. I said, I don't salute nobody. Hey, you do if you respect them. And if you're in the military, glory. This was a thought pattern of the men that began the nation, wrote the Declaration of Independence. Men like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay, named synonymous with the spirit of our country and founding fathers of this country. George Washington, Jefferson, Samuel Adams. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny of the King of England, and they began a revolution that started what we knew to be the greatest free nation in the world. Hello? But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty. Then put it in the schools as a light. Or since give me liberty and give me death, Patrick Henry said our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The early schools used the New England Primer. It was all Bible. Yet we can't have Bible in school anymore. What's wrong with us? Hello? But something happened there. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminated the reason for our nation's first beginning. For beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers crying, we need God in America again. Amen. You say, preacher, that's not true. Of the 55 men that signed the Declaration of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, 52 of them were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could quote the Bible literally chapter and verse from cover to cover. Thomas Jefferson sat on the front row at Bruton Parish. George Washington sat on another seat on the front row at Bruton Parish. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Of the one man that probably wasn't considered a Christian, Benjamin Franklin, more religious statements, because even though he didn't go to a Christian church, he believed in a God that could make this nation strong. And that is why we became one nation under God, indivisible. Could you say amen? James Madison said, we staked our future on the ability to follow the Ten Commandments with our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subverted the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington made the statement, you can't have national morality apart from religious principles. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Our founding fathers were here because of religion. They didn't come here to open up a new world. They came here for religious liberty, to worship a God that they wanted to worship the way they wanted to worship Him. And now we've come in a world where God is left out of our schools. He's left out of our homes. We've got TVs in our living room bringing garbage in every night and dumping it in our lap. We have become so numb to what's going on around us that words that used to be wrong now I'm told by the teenagers is okay. Cuss words are not okay. They were wrong when they were used 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 100 years ago. They're wrong now. Yeah. Just so some of y'all know that you were wrong when you tried to make that statement. You better do your research and find out those words were wrong when they were used before. They're still wrong. Hello? Smile. But I'm being told these things that we used to think were wrong, not wrong anymore. Honey, they're just as wrong now as they ever were. Well, I was told you could drink. Nothing wrong with drinking. Give me one verse of scripture. The Bible said that when Zechariah received the word of God about John the Baptist, he said, this child will never drink wine nor strong drink so that he may walk in the presence of the Spirit. You know what that tells me? If I'm going to get in the presence of the Spirit, live a life given to God, I can't drink wine or strong drink. Hello? So those of you that had to have a scripture, there it is. Well, Jesus turned the water into wine. So why you want a man-made thing to replace a miracle? Go get you a glass of water. If it turns into wine before you drink it, praise God. Glory. Come on, church, smile. We need to realize the founding fathers, the people who started this country, did so on religion. The first building built at Jamestown was a church. Part of it was built so good, it's still there. Hello? Amen. I told you before, when I've been to Jamestown, I asked the guy one day about church. He said, oh, we went to church every morning. If you didn't go to church in the morning, you didn't get breakfast. If you didn't go to church for a day, you got whipped, unless you were sick or otherwise kept from. People that ran away from the colony stayed gone for 30 days. When they come back, they hang them because they hadn't been to church in 30 days. Oh, some of y'all look and say, preacher, we don't do that around here, but, you know, it could be rough. Glory. Hello? Why? Because those people wanted the presence of God around them so much in this new world that God was the center focus of everything they did. Can I tell you, in the world we're living in today, we need God around us every hour of every day, every moment that we live. And to keep that happening, we've got to live close to the presence, the power, and the glory of God. Because no matter what's going on around us, the Bible said, I can stand in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made me free. And I can understand that in God, I am liberated through the power of His divine love. Could you say amen? Amen? Glory. I'm about to shout with one leg. These men knew that God of heaven was the leading one that gave them liberty. I'll give you a true story. This will show you more about how God fits into America. There was a couple by the name of Griscom, named Samuel and his wife Rebecca. They were Quakers. Those of you who don't know what Quakers are, that's the original Baptists in America. But now the Quakers taught and believed that being present with the Spirit of God would provide you the ability to live righteous and holy in the world. Hello? Say, wait a minute, preacher. Isn't that something like what the Church of God, the Church of God Reformation believed exactly the same thing, sanctification, that if you got in the presence of the Spirit, you could lose the things of this world. And that is biblical. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is in the Bible. Amen. They lived close to God. They were like that in the Reformation movement. Amen. They had seven children. And in, I believe it's 1752, they were given another child. Her name was Elizabeth. After Elizabeth, they had 10 more children. Count it up, 18 total. Amen. They were very productive in growing church. Hello? Somebody said, why church attendance drop off? We get having kids like we used to. I mean, I'm the eighth of eight children. I got two. I ain't having no more. Amen. I read a book where one out of three people born in America was Chinese. I don't know Chinese child. Glory. Amen. Come on, church, smile. I would take one in a heartbeat. Amen. Matter of fact, I had a friend went to China and adopted a child. I found out how cheap it was. I was going to go over there. Frida wouldn't let me go. She told somebody, said, he'd come back with a plane load of youngins. I would. Glory. There's two kids in Honduras. If I could have adopted them, they'd be living with me right now. But I can't get them out of the country. But if you go to that place, you will find there's a little boy down there got Alabama stuff all over him. Glory. Hello? You know what Alabama is, but boy, he's worshiping them. Amen. Glory. Come on, church, smile. I got some of y'all going. I'm going to send you some Auburn stuff. That's all right. They'll give you more clothes. I won't argue with you. He wouldn't know what that was either. Amen. But now notice this. Elizabeth was raised in a friend's school, a Quaker school. She was taught reading, writing, arithmetic, and a trade. From the time they were 5 years old, they were taught a trade. By the time she graduated from school, her father apprenticed her in an upholstery shop in Philadelphia. She met another apprentice by the name of John. John and Elizabeth became close friends. They fell in love. Problem was, the Quakers would not allow John and Elizabeth to be married because John's dad was an assistant preacher at the Christ Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And because it was interdenominational, to marry him, she had to lose everything. Finally, her love grew so much that she ran away with him and got married to him in New Jersey, thus being written out of the Quaker religion, meaning that she no longer could have contact with any of the Quakers. They could not do business with her. They could not help her in any way. She could never have contact with her family again, but she gave it up for him. A couple of years later, they opened up their own upholstery shop. Amen. At about time they got the shop open and things started improving, there was a guy in Philadelphia by the name of Tom Paine who wrote a book in which he made this statement. And I'm going to find it here because I want to make sure I get it right. Thomas Paine wrote a book when he said this, "These are the times that try men's souls." The book was called Common Sense, sold 120,000 copies that year, 500,000 copies by the end of the Revolutionary War. Hello? I don't know if y'all understand that a lot, but that is an awful lot of books in that day. People reading that book got a passion for liberty, and the town became split, thus messing up everything, because now it's hard to get the cloth to use their upholstery. It's hard to find business because the loyals wouldn't do business with the disloyals. Her husband, needing extra money, joined the militia. He was guarding a armor, and something happened. There was an explosion, and John was killed. Elizabeth continued to open the upholstery shop. One night, after dark, three men came to see her. They presented her with a picture of something they wanted her to make. She looked at the picture and she said, "That won't do. We need something that represents God. We need something that represents this country afresh, not anything that looks anything like what the king has." They did not really appreciate to start with the fact she wouldn't do their design. But when she gave the design to them, George Washington and Robert Morris and George Ross, her father-in-law, enjoyed the flag that Betsy made for them. Hello? Somebody said, "Well, what's that got to do?" Because what she put in the flag was this: white represents purity. Psalms 24:3, who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and pure heart, who hath not lifted up the soul into vanity, nor sown deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. What's he talking about? She understood that without purity, you're not going to see God, that you've got to live a holy and righteous life. My Bible tells me this is our reasonable service. Be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? That you might be that acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. It's sad, but not long ago in a meeting, they asked who wanted power, who wanted purity, and they lined up 9-1 wanting power, but you can't have power without purity. Could you say amen? Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights to a lost and dying world. First John 3:3, and every man that hath his hope hath put himself, have purified himself even as he is pure. What are you talking about? I may not can be as pure as Christ, but I got to strive to be as pure as Christ was. I've got to make things in this world. They don't exist in my life. Could you say amen? Come on, church. White represents the purity because she understood without the purity of God, God could never help us win victory. Do you think it's an accident that once that flag began to fly over the American troops, they began to win battles they were losing unmercifully before? Maybe y'all don't understand the history of the Revolutionary War, but in the first year and a half of the war, almost every battle we got into, we lost. The British had trained troops. They had Hessians who were nothing but mercenaries who did nothing but fight for their life. And then all of a sudden, things turned when one day they floated across the river at night, caught the Hessians in bed, and killed and took the entire regiment without one American getting hurt. You say, what happened? All of a sudden, things turned. Washington began to move down through the cities, knocking them out. Cornwallis began to run and found himself trapped just outside of the place called Virginia, Williamsburg, at a place called Yorktown. He was hoping the British military boats would pull in and help his bombardment, but instead he ended up surrendering his sword, giving up the Revolutionary War, an effort that brought us our liberty, our freedom, and our peace, and it was all brought on because a flag made by a young lady said the purity of God is going to give us victory because it is in him that we live and move and have our being, and without him there is nothing. Could you say amen? Gotta hurry. Blue. The blue represents courage. Courage is not limited to the battlefield or the Indianapolis 500 or bravely catching a thief in your house. The real test of courage is much deeper and much quieter. They are the inner tests, like remaining faithful when nobody's looking, like enduring pain when a room is empty, like standing alone when there is no one around who understands you. Amen. That definition was given by Charles Swindoll. 1 Corinthians 16, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with love. What are you talking about? We've got to get to that place where we understand real courage is being able to be different in the world of people that's looking at you going, "Why, you're stupid doing that." Hello? I know what it's like. I remember I used to do carpenter work, and the guys would pick at me. Even though my father-in-law was a Christian, there was people who worked for me. Wasn't. Had one guy in particular was an atheist. I remember one day he cornered me. He said, "Hey, you used to know how to have fun." He's talking about when I was a drug addict and alcoholic. Didn't know which way I was going or how I was going to turn. My life was falling apart. But he called that having fun. Of course, at the time, he was on a government drug program, which meant he didn't have to buy a drug anymore. He'd go down every week and they'd give him some. It's a government way of getting you off drugs, give you more drugs. That's the way the government operates. You don't make money, we'll give you some. Well, you ain't never going to go get a job. get quiet. And I said, Dad, glory. Listen, church, I was raised different from some folks. I've took one check for unemployment my entire life. And I felt bad taking that because I wasn't working. I'd paid in, but I felt bad taking it. But I got another job, so I wouldn't have to keep taking it. Hello? Besides, I don't know if y'all understand or not, but unemployment won't pay your bills. It just make you wish you had some money. Come on, church. Smile. I don't know why it got quiet. I might need to stay here. Of course, I'd have to got a whole new congregation because some of y'all be wanting to shoot me when it's over with, but the truth's the truth. I was raised work. My dad told me you can live working a half a day every day. Just pick what 12 hours and go for it. That's why I'm like I am. I get up in the morning and I go till I can't stop. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is not going to keep me from doing my job. I promise you. Hello? Come on, church. Some of y'all wonder what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that I got my leg in a cast. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't feel good last night when that doctor looked at me and said, your knee's gone. It's still there, but most of it is gone. It's deteriorated. And she says, I've got to have a new one. It's not a problem. I'll get them to pop a new one in. I'll be back to work. Come on. Smile. Some of y'all looked up and said, preacher, you're crazy. Y'all remember the last time I blew a knee out? I missed 1 week. I was right back up here in a wheelchair preaching the next week. Why? This is where I belong. I don't belong over the house laying up, looking at the wall, trying to figure out why I'm hurting. I need to be right here. This is my life. This is what I live for. And I'm not giving it up. I don't care what the devil does to me or what he tells me I can't do. Come on, church. Somebody mentioned this morning, I believe you're under attack. That's biblical. The Bible tells us that if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. So you understand the devil's going to go after me and my family. But you understand something else. He's been trying it for 40 years, and he ain't made me back down now. And I'm not coming out tomorrow and giving up. That is real courage. It's when you stand in the face of the enemy and say, wait a minute. I've not had my shot. Get out of the way. I'm coming in. Glory. Some of you need to take control of your house spiritually. You need to stand up and tell the devil, get out of my house. I'm taking dominion over my family. I'm taking dominion over my house. And you don't belong here anymore. Just make sure you pray it up before you do it. You don't want to be like the sons of Sceva running down the street naked after you run your mouth. Glory. There's actually people ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. They're going, what? That's in the Bible. They decided to cast out some demons, and they were good. They got the demons out, but the demons took their clothes and said, Paul, we know, Jesus, we know, but who are you? Glory. So make sure God knows who you are, so when the demons come out, you can look at them. I'm a child of the living God under the blood of Jesus Christ, and through that blood I stand against you, and I command you, let my family go. Glory. That's good preaching. Amen. That's real courage. Amen. Psalms 31:24, be of good courage. And ye shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Come on, church. That guy picking at me said, aren't you going to feel stupid when Jesus don't come? Have you ever been caught when you didn't have an answer? Y'all see me, I don't get done that way very often, but for some reason that morning, I've been driving back and forth below Montgomery preaching every night, and it's been a 2-week revival. And so by this Thursday that this happened, my brain's asleep, though my body's still moving. Because I was up till 2 or 3 o'clock every morning on the job by 6:30 and back preaching somewhere at night. They didn't shut down the night to let people rest. That 2-week revival had not missed a service. And I was in Thursday of the second week. And my body was in mourning for sleep. And my brain wasn't functioning. When he asked me that, it totally caught me off guard because the last thing I expected an atheist to do was talk about the coming of the Lord. He walked off the other room laughing because he thought he had me like the other guys that would always back away from him because they didn't want to argue with him. I dropped my nail pouch on the floor, walked in there, said, time to take a break. He said, it ain't break time. I said, Diz, I'm job soup. I said, we're taking a break. Drop your belt. We're going to talk a while. He said, Mr. Clyde. I said, he ain't going to fire me. I'm his son-in-law. He'd have to feed me anyway. So I'm cool. Glory. He looked at me sort of funny. I said, you asked a question. You'd wait for the answer. He said, you ain't got one. I said, yes, I do. I said, you knew me when I was a drug addict and alcoholic. I remember partying with you sometimes. I said, but you also knew me when my life was falling apart, just like yours was and still is. I said, but you know what? If Jesus doesn't come, I no longer have an addiction to drugs. It's eating my life up. I'm no longer addicted to alcohol where I shake till I get a drink. I no longer have to hide when people come by because I'm ashamed of who I am. But I'm proud of who I am, and I'm proud of the life I live right now. And I'm telling people about a God that changed me more than a God that's coming to get them. But I said, know what this is, that when he does come back, I'm going to have a forever and a forever that is unbelievable. I said, the question's not what I'm going to do if he don't come back. I got that covered. What are you going to do when he does come back? Glory. He jumped up and he grabbed his hammer and he said, sermon's over. Now, since he'd been to jail for hitting people with that hammer, it was over. Glory. I don't know if it had impact on him, but a few years later, I was in Bessemer and heard somebody talking, and I heard the voice. I knew the voice. I just didn't see the man. Because instead of looking like a shaved down gorilla with a big old long ponytail and a beard, that was this nice dressed dude. That voice was coming out of there, standing there in a suit, putting gas in his car. And I turned the corner and I looked at him and I called him by a nickname we had for him, and he called me by a nickname they had for me, and you don't need to know either nickname. They weren't bad. They just, nobody needs to know my nickname. It was one everybody called me. It wasn't an ugly word, but it was, even my father-in-law called me that sometimes. But that was a work thing, and that's where it stays. His nickname was Cool Ray. His name was Colin, but he called him Cool Ray. And he spun around and he said, hey, and he called me by my name, and I'm not going to make the mistake of saying it. But he ran over and he grabbed me and he said, what are you doing tonight? I said, well, I'm headed somewhere to preach. He said, man, I wanted you to come be with me. I'm preaching my first sermon tonight. Last time I heard from him, he was a preacher of the gospel. Not Church of God, but he's still a preacher of the gospel. He's a good man. Considering he used to not believe in God, he said, I was thinking about committing suicide, sitting on the side of a hill out in California. The sun started coming up, and I seen it break out over that water. And it started shining off the water. And so I sat there and said, God, if you're real, would you just touch me? And he said, something hit me in the middle of nowhere. And I realized there is a God. There is a power. There is an anointing. I want to tell you something, church. That's what everybody needs to know. And the only way they're going to know it is we have the courage to stand up in a dark world and say there is a God who can change your life, who can change what's going on. But they can't see it unless they see the change in you. Glory. I'm hurrying. Well, I ain't got one more color. Actually, we don't, because we got a service at 1 o'clock. Glory. But she put red. It's come to represent the blood that's been shed through the courageous men that have defended our country in war after war after war. Because, see, just as soon as we finished the war to win our independence, in 1812, the British decided they could take us again, that they just really didn't put enough men in the first time. They came in and tried to take America. They actually captured Washington, D.C. And then suddenly, for the first time and only for the first time in recorded history and only twice in the history of mankind, a hurricane went through Washington, D.C. and killed almost every one of the British soldiers that was holding it. And our soldiers took back over our capital, and we became a nation again. And the British surrendered the War of 1812 that was fought in 1814. Amen. Come on, church, smile. He said, what are you getting at? That God that set this country up took care of this country then. Come on, church. Amen. Outnumbered and outpowered, God stepped in and said, it ain't going to happen. Come on, church. Amen. You say, well, now, what makes you think that? We have hurricanes, but like I said, it's only happened twice that we know of in history. Never had happened before. And all of a sudden, the British got caught without being able to get away, and it drowned and killed almost every soldier in the unit, and Americans walked back in, take over. I believe that's a God, and that's the God I serve. Could you say amen? Glory. Come on, church, smile. Amen. But notice red is for sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness. In Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For is this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that we are under the first testament, they which are called mighty receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What did it say? He said he paid the price, and now he's meeting out the problem. He gave us a new will and made himself executor of the will. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You say, what are you talking about? Ain't no way that will won't get done like he wanted it if he's the one putting it out. Hebrews 12:4, we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus stayed till the sin came out of the world, got all over him, and then washed it away with his blood. The Bible said he who knew no sin became sin, that he might become then the righteousness of God in him. He took our sins on him, took it to the cross, and died. And because of the shedding of blood, our sins are gone. Could you say amen? 1 John 1:7, but we walk in the light as ye are in the light. We have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, has cleansed us from all sin. What's he saying? Thank God. That red, according to her, represented the sacrifice, not just the people who died, because when she made the flag, nobody had died. It was the sacrifice of the Son of God who gave his life for us that we might have life everlasting in him. Could you say amen? Amen. Freedom isn't cheap. When God leads you to the edge of a cliff, trust him fully and let go. Only one of two things will happen. He'll catch you when you fall, or he'll teach you how to fly. Courage is always one step ahead of fear. And in closing, I want to give you something I found in a book. Hope has two daughters, anger and courage. Anger is how things are. Courage is when you stand up and say, I'm going to change them. I believe with all my heart God's looking for some changers in this church. Looking for people that says, I understand our country and our place around us is falling apart. I understand the economy stinks. I understand things are bad. But I believe God is still in charge. And I can make a difference in him. You know, if we all take on the ideology of Martin Luther when he wrote these words, I am but one, but I am one for the grace of God, and in his power, I will change the world. Well, preacher, that's mighty big words. Do you do anything? You're sitting in a Protestant church, aren't you? That was started by Martin Luther, that man that wrote that. He changed the whole face of Christianity. Now we have a way to believe that we wouldn't have had without him. And there are people sitting here today that could change your place. You could change your family. You could change what's going on around you if you have the courage to stand up and let God put his life in you and use you. You can make a change. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me all over the house? Mr. Green wrote a song, I'm Proud to Be an American, where at least I know I'm free. That's what I told me the other day, they wanted to go live in another country. I said, you won't long. He said, what are you talking about? I said, been there, done that. I love to go there and preach and help people, but I never want to live in one of those countries where you have to hide to be a Christian, where you have to scramble just to get by. I like the idea that I can get up in the morning and choose today is a day that my Lord has made. I can rejoice and be glad in it. I can choose to come to the house of God and worship him without having to worry about being killed. We sit here in this little world talking about why we can't do things when if we'd make up our mind we could, we could. The largest church of God in the world, it's not in America, not in Britain. It's in the largest Muslim country in the world, where the government has offered rewards for people that would kill Christians. Yet every Sunday, 80,000 people go to that church knowing they could be killed for being there. The pastor continues to work that city and preach the gospel all over that country. And on Sundays when they're letting out of church, the military actually controls the traffic for them free of charge, because they're scared of the pastor, because they're afraid he'll pray for them. Hello? Because people in time past that tried to kill that pastor have ended up dead without him doing anything but walk by them. But Floyd Lahan said when Alex walks down the street that if a military truck comes by, it will stop. They jump out, stand at attention while he walks by, out of pure respect for a man who's only 5'4", not big in stature, but he's big in the power, the anointing of God. And that's what we need to get at America, is the presence of Almighty God. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. God, we ask you to give us purity. Let us seek your face for your reality of love. God, give us courage to stand up in the darkened hour. God, let the power of your sacrifice move us to be willing to sacrifice for you, to receive of you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.